Hi, and welcome to Impactful Teaching at the College of Charleston, a teaching and learning podcast where we discover innovative strategies and practices to engage learners. Celebrate the successes of others making an impact on today's students' academic achievements and inspire each other to learn and grow in our own teaching practices. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Impactful Teaching. I'm your host, Tamara Pardell, instructional technologist at TLT at the College of Charleston. Today, our topic is student engagement, and our guest today is Devin Hanahan from the School of Languages, Cultures, and World Affairs. Welcome. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Tamara. I'm doing great.
And did I say your name correct? Because I want to make sure.
Yeah, Devin Hanahan, you did.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Can you tell us a little bit about your role at LCWA?
Yes, I am an instructor, a senior instructor of Spanish. I am also the coordinator of the Basic Spanish Language Program, which means that I coordinate the 100 and 200 level classes. So we have 6 different levels. I work with my department chair, of course, to assign classes. I update the curriculum when necessary, provide materials and syllabi, observe and provide constructive criticism on teaching and so on. So I'm really lucky. I have my dream job, which is teaching Spanish, but I also get to scratch my administrative itch a little bit, and I get to share my experience with newer teachers, which is, you know, how it happened for me. I had great role models when I was a young teacher. So I always hope to pass some of that on.
All right. Awesome. And with that, you would have a lot of experience with student engagement over the years and learn how to tweak and hone your skills in that area. Can you define for us how do you see student engagement? What is it?
Well, there are lots of jargon, and I don't mean jargon in a negative way, jargon-based, edu-speak definitions of student engagement. But to me, student engagement is creating an atmosphere where students don't want to miss your class, and they can't wait to see what they're going to learn next or what you're going to do next, and where they are eager to participate despite any fears or preconceptions they come to the class with.
Yes, and I like what you said in the beginning, that don't want to miss your class piece, because we know that if they're engaged and they love it, they're going to keep coming back. You know, you're not going to have to, they're not going to drag their feet to want to come. And you got to think about when you were in class too, you know, those classes that you wanted to go to because you had a connection with your professor, or your professor was just so interesting. You didn't want to miss that class, you know? So I love that piece that you said, you know, student engagement and a part of it is having your students not wanting to miss your class. I love that. And I'm sure you have this question that I'm going to ask you next. What kind of challenges, if any, you faced with student engagement?
Oh my goodness, if any, all the time. Because there are students. You know, students are, you've got 25 individual humans in your class. You're going to have some who are anxious about where they are in their life. You're going to have some who are afraid. You're going to have some who are bored. You're going to have some who are defensive and don't want to be there. And I as a language teacher, have the added factor of the affective filter, where they're afraid to speak in a second language. So engagement is a constant challenge in a second language class. People just inherently feel afraid to make themselves vulnerable by making mistakes, by, one of our lowest hierarchy or most important needs in the hierarchy of needs is communication and safety and being connected to others. And when you're in a classroom where you don't understand the language, that's hard to create. For example, I'm teaching 2 one-on-one classes this fall. I absolutely love one-on-one. I love starting from scratch with the students. Mm-hmm. But, they're fearful, and I'm speaking a lot of Spanish. So I have a lot of ways of dealing with that fear.
Okay. Do you have an example of of a time of something that, you know, was challenging, and then, you know, it, you did something that, you know, kind of helped you get over that challenge?
Sure. In general, what I do is I tell my students the first day of class, they've got to trust me. The same way, and I say, you know, you're learning Spanish the same way you're learning English as a baby. Your parents didn't just stare at you in silence and then you picked up English. They chattered to you all the time, and that's how you learned. And that's what I'm doing up here. And I make them sign a paper. It's a huge paper on my wall that says, I understand that I will not understand every word, that I can trust Senora Hanahan to keep me up where I need to be, and that it's 100% normal to make mistakes. So we talk about that a lot. The more I let them in on the secret of why I do what I do, here's why I repeat, guys. Here's why I do this. The more relaxed they are, and the more they trust me. And then you, when you sort of asked about a specific time, many times you'll get a student who is just shy no matter what, and they come to class and they do a great job and they turn in their homework, but they're very reluctant to participate. And whenever that happens, I talk to that student privately, either via email or face to face, and I ask their permission to have them participate more. And I say, here's what I'm going to do. And I've had this last for anywhere from 2 days to like 3 weeks of class, where I let that student know in advance a question I will ask him or her. And so that they can sort of lose that fear. And then what happens is, by doing it in such a safe way, they get a little more used to participating and being engaged, and it starts to come naturally to them.
I like that strategy because I'm thinking about for myself when I was in college, you know, sometimes you got to go back that
Oh Lord, I don't know if I can remember back that
far.
far.
And no, but I recall not specific instances, but I recall not really being one to speak much in class, especially in the larger classes, right? But when I started doing classes online, I flourished. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because it goes back to that strategy that you used. The reason why I was able to flourish is because I had time to digest the question, process it, and then answer it in that online, discussion area. Whereas in class, I could not think that quickly. I needed more time to like really think about what, my professor was saying. So, you giving that student that chance to kind of, muddle over it, think about it, give them that time to prepare before class. I think that's a very excellent strategy. I
And
like that.
it also gives them confidence because people see them answering something successfully and, you know, being a part of the class, and that increases their, I think I already said that, increases their confidence for when
Yes.
you call on them naturally. So it
Yes,
gives them a chance to be successful, which leads to more success.
Yeah, so if you didn't get that tip, rewind and hear it again because that's an excellent one. I really like that one, especially for those introverts who don't really like to talk much and who want to, have time to think about what they have to say. I love
And
that tip.
tomorrow, another important thing is to give those introverts a chance to participate and be engaged in ways other than speaking in class. And I try to do that via, you know, outside activities like coming to lectures or Spanish club meetings or online forms of participation like a discussion board. Or, you know, you have to give them other ways to express themselves. I have with all levels of my classes, they each student gets a blue book, and there are times where instead of having them talk about things in class, I have them write. And some of those students who are reluctant to talk just shine when
Yes,
they
they do.
write. And then when I'm bringing them back up in class, I'll ask permission to share some of them, and I'll say, "Would you like to read yours?" Or, you know, they have the option of reading it. But that's another way of trying to reach students with different talents and different strengths and needs.
Yeah, I like that. I saw one professor, one pr presentation that I was watching and listening, and it was something similar. She the professor had difficulties with one student had difficulties actually sitting on Zoom. So, I'm always talking tech. And the student was
Oh,
struggling with not Zoom fatigue, but just literally staring at the screen for that long. And he mentioned the challenges it was for him to be able to do that. And so what she did was printed her presentations in advance for him, allowed him to, print it in advance, so that the day of the class, he can turn his camera off if need to be and sit and be able to write notes. That's what he was doing. And then his participation for class would be him turning in his notes. So she can see that he really was engaged with material, but it gave, you know, she was able to adapt it and accommodate for his needs. And so, yeah, I you know, I think student engagement, we have to remember being able to adapt and accommodate for the different needs of our students, right? So you named at least
the strategies I just,
you have. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, go, you go ahead.
I was going to tell you, go ahead and name your top engagement strategy. You gave us two already. So what are some other engagement strategies that you're, like, your go-to? Like, this is a strategy that I use and it gets my class going. Or do you have, like, some...
Well, part of it is just that I have tons of energy and I love what I do. And I can't wait to see my students every day, believe it or not. And they get that. They sense that. They sense that they're important and interesting to me. I do some, you know, I tell them I miss them, and I do when they miss class. I acknowledge when they come back to class, we're so glad to have you back. You know, we missed you. Every Friday, the first 5 minutes of class, and I would say maybe only 10 kids per class do this over the semester, but I do Talent Friday, where they get to share a talent. It doesn't have to have anything to do with Spanish. I tell them it's because you're all interesting people and we all want to learn about you and get to know you better, because that's what we do in this class. We talk about ourselves in a second language. So I've already had, tomorrow is the first Talent Friday. I always show them my talents on the first Friday as a model. I can run in high heels and I can forge signatures. So I set the bar low, but over the past 20 years of doing this, I've had opera singers. I've had kids bring in sweaters they've knitted. I've had kids sing and play the guitar. Tomorrow, I had a young man who already came to see me in office hours, and he's so excited. He said he wanted to show a clip of a video game he created and built from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So that, letting them know that they're important to you and that they're interesting is important. And the other thing is, I do a workshop every August for my department. And I focused on student engagement for part of it. And I said, you know, guys, really, if you know how to engage a toddler, because these kids are toddlers in the language in many ways, then you know how to engage a college student. Because think about with a toddler, you want to have a positive relationship where they love seeing you.
Right.
You want to make things personally relevant to them. Like if you talk to a toddler about the stock market, they're not going to care. You want to make them curious about what you're doing. You have to be clear with them because they don't speak very well, right? And you have to give them an important purpose. Like little kids love when you let them help do important things. And all of those things apply to a language student, all of them. Have a positive relationship. Any student. Make things relevant to them. Stimulate their curiosity. This sounds obvious, but honestly, I'm not saying this to say, wow, I'm such a hard worker, but I literally, when I do lesson plans, it's as if I'm going to teach in front of a huge audience. I mean, I really try hard to make sure that I use my time wisely, that it's really interesting, that at the end of the class, they know they've learned something that they can take out of the class with them.
You're listening to Impactful Teaching. We'll be back in just a few minutes to bring you the rest of today's episode. If you miss any of today's episode, you can hear it again on our website at tlt.cofc.edu. That's tlt.cofc.edu.
Hey.
Welcome to Little CFCers. Here's one hot and ready quiz in Oaks, ready to go. We've actually improved it.
You changed the quiz feature in Oaks? You changed! I changed! They changed, Green Screen Man! They changed! How can you be working at a time like this? Oh. Why? They changed! They changed! Tell me why.
The quiz editing tool is even better. because it now has the same layout as the assignments page and easy to drop down menus to set conditions and restrictions.
Ooh, give me one of those.
Check out the new tutorial video and start using the new quiz feature in Oaks today.
Quizzes.
Once again, here's impactful teaching.
It's easier as I get older. I mean, I can do them faster, but I still put the same attention into them.
Yes.
As I did when I started teaching 30 something years ago.
Excellent. I love it. And how often do you, because I think sometimes, especially for like your first year faculty and teachers, how often do you find yourself, you created a lesson, or maybe even had a series of lessons or ideas that you were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. But as you said earlier, as you're building the rapport and you're getting to know them, and then you realize the type of students that you have, how often do you go back and then change your lesson?
Oh, okay. Well, get this. I'm teaching an FYE class. I've taught it as a learning community in the past, and now I'm teaching it as a 3-hour seminar. So I created a completely new syllabus, trying to incorporate the same material in 3 hours and sift through it. And the kids are absolutely fantastic. They are so hardworking and so eager, but I realized I overloaded the material.
Okay.
So yesterday, as I was, I realized it because I was like, oh gosh, I got to hurry through this. And the kids were so great. I was teaching them about the Middle Ages in Spain, and they were asking all these questions. It was amazing. But I was answering their questions and thinking, oh gosh, do I have time to do this? So I thought, I'm going to put the brakes on. I copied the table of contents of one of their books, because they have a culture book, a literature book, and an art history book. And I said, I want you to circle the top 5 things that you're interested in. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to completely rewrite your syllabus. Because I realized that I had created a syllabus with too much material that didn't allow enough time for these kids, who are amazing, to wonder, to branch out, and so on. So I love being flexible like that. And you're right. Every class is different. Every mm-hmm. class has a different personality.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. What are some tips that you would give that first year or new to CFC faculty? You know, they're just getting in there, and you've shared quite a few strategies with us. What are some tips if they're like, I don't even know where to start, you know, with the student engagement?
I would say first, be very faithful to communication. Check your email, check your messages, make a lot of eye contact, let them know that you're there, remind them of office hours. Communication is so important. The student needs to feel seen. They need to feel that you would notice if they were not there. Now, I have the luxury of classes no bigger than 25 students, and I know not everybody has that.
Right.
I learned when I was a high school teacher that if I learned the kids' names on the first day, it was a great disciplinary tool, because I could immediately say, like, hey, Joe, that's enough, you know, or something.
Right.
They'd be like, what? She knows my name. So I've gotten good at learning that. Again, I don't have more than 25 kids. I've gotten good at learning the names on the first day. That makes a big difference. They feel like they're already a part of the class. But the main thing is your attitude that you bring to class. You need to enjoy being there. And that one great thing about the college, our faculty is so amazing, because we're all here. We have so many faculty members who could be at much more prestigious R1 universities, but they love teaching. And so they're here. And I think our teaching is the strength of this university. And we have so many wonderful faculty members. So this is sort of already in place. Show the kids that you love what you're doing, but show them also that you are interested in them and making a connection with them. And I guess my mantra or my quote that I really love is, students don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's something like that. I didn't make it up. I wish I did.
I like that. You beat me to my question.
Oh, sorry.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
Students don't care what you know until they know that you care. And especially nowadays when people feel isolated after COVID, when they feel isolated by pressure from social media, you know, there's a much higher level of anxiety in our kids than, geez, really a lot more than 30 years ago, but even 5 years ago. They need to have, I'm not telling you to be their, you know, their mom and dad, but they need to have that feeling that they are cared about. But that's what we do at the College of Charleston. That's how I felt when I was a student here, you know, 500 years ago.
Right. So students don't care what you know. They care about what?
They don't care what you know until they know that you care.
They just want to know that you care. I love that.
Yeah, and then they care what you know. And you're the word until.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, for me, when I was in the classroom, that was always it. The students that I made the rapport with, the students that you knew that importance of that rapport. And the more they liked you, the more they performed. You know, the more
and,
that.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, totally.
You know, the more that you got along with them, the more that they were willing to do and go the extra mile to do things, you know. And you see it all the time when the students are like, you know, I like coming to your class, really? And they start talking to you on a whole other level because they're so comfortable with you. So I love that. I love that one. We're going to have to maybe.
And you know what? Just like with raising children, having a good rapport does not mean being slack or being easy. No. My students will tell you I'm really strict. Right. I'll just walk by and take their phone off their desk and just go set it on mine and keep talking. You know, if they're using their phone, I say to them, I start the minute, you know, 10 o'clock, the minute that starts, we are starting class. If they hand me something sloppy for homework, I hand it back and say, I don't want that. Do it again until, you know, you're proud of it. So I'm strict with them, but I also, you know, I have a sense of humor. I care about them. They can tell that I want them to succeed. And that's what's so important.
That's that tough love, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Like tough love actually works. You know, I mean, I would have colleagues tell me when I was elementary school teacher, and they would say, "Oh, you're so mean to your kids." I'm like, "I'm not mean. I'm tough."
Yeah, and you know what?
And then she said, "But you get all the gifts." I'm like, "Because I'm not mean. I'm just they know that
exactly.
I'm coming from a place that I love them, that I know that they can do well, and I know that they can perform, and so." The expectation has just been set. And so they rise to the occasion because I've put that expectation there for them. So it's not that I'm being mean.
And you make them feel, you make them, you first off, you give them boundaries, which all of us crave. It's frightening to be without boundaries.
Yes.
And not know what you can and can't do. And the other thing is, when you do that, when you give them those expectations, you give them a chance to succeed and be proud of themselves. And that's what's so important. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, I get it. And also I think as educators, we have to remember that when you're in that classroom, you're the leader in that room.
Right.
And they're looking for you to guide them and take them. And they want to look up to you for that inspiration for what they're learning. And so you can't, just like any leader, any leadership, if you're in a meeting with your head or whoever, you're more prone to listen to somebody who's listening to you or who's right. connected to you. So it's the same concept, even though it's in the classroom.
And you don't want to go to a meeting where the leader of the meeting just lets people, you know, talk for 20 minutes each or go off topic. You want someone to lead a meeting who is going to listen to you, but keep things on track and set boundaries. You know, we all want boundaries.
Right.
Not stifling.
We
want boundaries. You know, we want a sky to reach for, but we also want a floor to stand on.
Yeah.
And I did just make that up.
It was good. It sounded good though. It sounded good. Actually, you said that. Oh, Devin, this was really great. I want to thank you so much. If your students are listening, is there something in Spanish you want to tell them?
Me alegro muchísimo de que estén aquí para el otoño y me importan muchísimo.
All right. I understood some of it. I heard the word important.
He said, I'm so glad you all are here for the fall and you all are very important to me.
Yes. All right. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really appreciate it. I feel very, very lucky to be part of this this department and this college.
Thank you. And for all our listeners, thank you again for joining. Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Impactful Teaching, brought to you by the Teaching and Learning Team at the College of Charleston. Until next time.